Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Welcome one, welcome all. Another Monday, another 7 p.m. And let me start off. I haven't shouted him out in a while, but I want to thank my little brother, Throwboy Mike, for the intro music. One of the people that I know in the production field, and just so happened one night we were talking and he sent me this particular song, and I asked him if I could use it, and of course he said yes. But yeah, shout out to him, shout out to my family, brothers and sisters that listen, and I see I'm picking up a little traction, but I appreciate all you that listen, Israel, Ireland, India, Nigeria, the Philippines, Germany, Canada, and the U.S., of course, and also my listening family on activatemedia.org out of Boston, Mass., where this show plays, replays on Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Want to also thank all of my online listeners, all of my listeners who call in to listen. And if you are online listening and would like to be part of the discussion, feel free to call in. Your call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that is 914-205-5538. And you can call in and just listen, or if you want to get involved in the discussion, comment, or, you know, just talking about something that may be going on in your city, feel free to call in and press the 1, and I will see you in the queue, and I will open your microphone so you can make your statement, comment, or whatever it is that's on your mind. Before I get started tonight, I want to just talk about a situation that happened to me last Thursday while I was on the job, you know, and I'm actually on the move right now. I hope that the audio is good. I hope that the audio is clear. And I hope that the connection holds without interruptions. Yeah, I was on the job and I was profiled by a state trooper going through Kansas City the other day. Tonight, really, I'm going to talk about what do we really have to truly be happy about. Now, I'm not talking about I'm talking about things that we don't have that we should have. Of course, I'm happy for life, breath, and, you know, no bad news phone calls today and all of that. So what I mean is, you know, just in what we have, what we possess, what do we truly have to be happy about? Because I want to just talk about some things that they throw at us and keep us under with. But yeah, last Thursday I was profiled, and I noticed, because I travel up and down the 35 corridor quite a bit all week, back and forth to Kansas, Texas to Kansas, Texas to Kansas, and I've noticed that they have been stopping a lot of drivers that look like me and also Hispanic drivers, you know. Now, this officer pulled me over, this trooper, pulled me over, young guy. I don't give him any more than 30 years old. I could be wrong, but young guy as opposed to me. And he climbs up on my passenger side of the truck. He's looking all in the truck. And long story short, I didn't get a ticket. He gave me a warning because I couldn't find my loose leaf log papers we're supposed to have. And, I mean, my ELD's working fine, wasn't malfunctioning, but he had to do something. Because I called him on his profile. There were like 4 trucks. I was the last truck in the line. The other trucks had, matter of fact, just passed me. And they didn't look like me. They were all, you know, had the complexion for the protection. Because I asked him why he pulled me over. And he said, oh, yeah, because your score was a 63. And what he meant by that, trucking companies are assessed a CSA score. And your score is calculated by, like, how many drivers have tickets or, you know, just violations. And that makes your score go up, you know, of course. But I asked my boss today, did he know what it was? He said he doubted that it was a 63, and he also told me that he didn't think they had a way of pulling that up themselves. I don't know. But long story short, it's just aggravating to me, and this is why I always tell you all, you know, we're family. We need each other out here. And that's just, you know, an instance in which, you know, he was hoping to be able to, and mind you, he pulled me over for an inspection that he never did. So I tried to make contact with them today, and I'm going to keep making contact, trying to make contact until I do, because I definitely want to file charges on this C. Roselle with the, okay, my apologies. I hope this doesn't become a consistent thing. I am driving, Noah, and I do apologize. I'm putting in this work. But I did explain that, and I'm hoping, though, that the connection doesn't do that often. But like I was saying prior to that interruption, you know, it's discouraging that we can't work. We can't move. We can't exist. You know, it's like we can't breathe without some type of harassment, some type of you know, hindrance to our day. Like I say, I've been noticing that trend, and tickets, mind you, yeah, are very expensive when you are ticketed in this commercial vehicle. But like I say, that CSA score and all that, those are just things, you know. And he said the typical things that an officer that profiles people say. You know, oh, I'm just doing my job. I actually recorded it and went live. I recorded the first portion of it, and then when he left and went back to his vehicle, I actually went live with it on Facebook just in case, because, you know, it didn't stop him from pulling me over. And like I say, he pulled me over for an inspection, and I've been driving 21 years. I have been pulled over a few times. I can count them on both of my hands how many times I've been pulled over for a roadside inspection, but it has happened. And that's about a 15 to 20 minute process. They walk around your truck, they check your airlines, brakes, washer, lights, horn. You got to have washer fluid in your vehicle because they actually make you use it. There is very thorough inspection. And like I say, I've had it happen a few times, but for him to pull me over and then not even inspect the truck, he stood on the side of the door, like I say, asking question after question after question, just like he was picking for something, you know. So, like I say, just be safe out here, you guys. You know, be legal and stand your ground, too. You know, Even if you don't know the law, speak as if you know them. And then if you don't know them, look them up, read them, know them. Because that can sometimes make them back off just a little bit. You know, when it's one of those terribly bad apples, you know, and they are definitely out here. So, like I say, just be safe and legal, you know, because even, like I say, on the job, you're not exempt from being profiled. And honestly, I don't look 52. Like he said, oh, I didn't know you were black. And I was like, man, he pulled right up to the driver's side of my diesel. And I slowed down. He looked right at me. He slowed back down, got back behind me, and that's what he saw. But he didn't know. You know, okay. So, like I say, just be safe and, you know, legal in your movement and things that you're doing. Like I say, I'll talk about, I just can't, I wasn't going to say anything. Help it, I have to, because we are always so overjoyed and happy when someone who looks like us is nominated for something and wins something, but yet and still, have you done any research about Ketanji Brown Jackson? Do you know anything about Ketanji Brown Jackson other than she looks like us and she's now a judge in the Supreme Court? Other than that, what do you know about her? I know that her policies and her decisions made have not been in favor of people that look like you and I and her. And also, she is of Kamala Harris material. And if you don't know what I mean by that, I mean that the head of her household does not look like you and I. And I'm not knocking who she's married to, but what I am saying is her interests are not going to be in line with black males, because a black male is not the head of her household, much like Kamala Chucks and Pearls, Miss Fake Black Harris. So, not only that, Miss Chucks and Pearls is detrimental and now and in the past to our existence as well. And she only plays her black card when needed. You know, she, if you listen to her, she claims her Pacific Island heritage much more than she claims anything pertaining to African-American culture or heritage, you know. And then, you know, we wonder why the anti-Asian hate crime bill was signed into law. Well, she claims that, you know, consistently, but she'll try to get hip and cool when the White House needs her to sway us in and reel us in, you know. And we are coming into midterm elections, so don't be pacified by them electing Ketanji Brown Jackson. That's a midterm ploy, much like the Republicans. Ain't done nothing for us specifically still. And like I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, truly read over this anti-lynching bill. Because if you really read over it, does nothing. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what it does. It does give them a way to vilify even us as black people with this bill. That's why I say read these bills, because there's still a bunch of bills that need to be updated that are out, could actually still be used today. And like I say, we've got to be more vigilant and more direct in what it is that we truly want. Because, like I say, the anti-lynching bill, I'm not even going to try to get all off into the specific of it, but pull it up and read it. Please, pull it up and read it. And and you will see that, I mean, it's really a bunch of nothing. Something, like I say, is used to pacify us, just keep us, you know, coddled and docile, you know, feeling like we've got something. And that was nothing. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry, because I want to tell you the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter, why 67 years later, and you get in office and, what, 4 or 5 months into your administration, you get an anti-Asian hate bill. Like, Asians were getting lynched. Like Asians were part with horses. Like Asians were castrated. Like Asians were, women were raped and made to have massive babies. Like Asian women had to endure the pain of that monster, Dr. Sims, who y'all called the father of gynecology, who experimented on black women without anesthesia, because in y'all sick mind, in the mind of the sick racist, black people didn't feel pain. You know, what does the screaming mean? Every time you strike them with that whip and they scream, that doesn't equate to pain. That's the ignorance of the racist. You know, and like I say, these Trumpers are the new racists. You know, and what's the irony of it is that these Trumpers don't even understand that this system is not really for them either, because most of these Trumpers are, once again, right now, I'll say this, I've said it, a show, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks back, to the poor white people, you really should try to get on the right side. Because the day is going to come when you're going to realize that you were just pawns being used. Unless you know something or have something planned that we don't know, where you won't have to be relying upon this system. But like most poor people I know, don't really have no whole lot of anything, has to rely on a system that doesn't give a damn about the people. And Trump doesn't give a damn about you. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. And America's not that great. Now, on with the show. I digress a little, but just wanted to make that point, because I've said this several times as well. You know, it's more about classism now as opposed to racism. And that's why I say, too, for us as black people in this country, we cannot rely on these celebrities, you know, because they don't live the lives that we live. You know, they don't, even though in this society and in this system they're still a nigger, they don't feel that way, and they're not going to give up what they have to help regular, ordinary people like you and I. And not only that, you know, I mean, we need to start our own grassroots movement. You know, those of us who are like-minded and who are ready to change the condition, you know, it's up to us to network and link up. And that's one of my missions. You all know that. Nationwide, globally, white supremacy is a global virus. And like I've been saying, you know, that's the only virus that they ain't even considered vaccinating. They ain't thought about no vaccines for that. And that's why I say we need to become the vaccine for white supremacy, racism. It's up to us to change that. It's up to them to realize the effect and to want to change. But who wants to give up power? But all those things and nations that were powerful always crumble throughout history. You know, and America is no different. And America's problem is lack of atonement. They don't feel like they have to apologize. They don't, at least with us, you know, because, yeah, I mean, right now, Afghanistan refugees and Ukrainian refugees are welcome here. And not only that, they're going to get money and ahead, you know, and a little bit of a kickstart, jump start, you know. So those are things that they're willing to give people that resemble them but not us, you know. And every time that the subject of reparations is brought up, there's always a, we don't have any money for that, you know. And I've said this several times. If you don't want to give us money, give us some land. Give us tax exemption. Give us free health care. Really don't give a damn about your education, because it's really worthless to such an intellectual generation of young, wise but weak mind. But give us something that we can progress with, that's beneficial, that we can build our own with. Why is it that this country is so afraid to give us an equal shot? You know, you said you'd give us 40 acres and a mule. And what you did do is reparate those slave owners. You reparated the devil, but you didn't reparate the victim. You know, typical American government hasn't changed since then and not going to change. Because it will never, for some reason, and I think we all know what that is, but, will not, like I say, give us an equal chance. Won't give us justice. Then, like I say, the things that our ancestors were able to accomplish, you burned it down. I mean, we've always known how to take absolutely nothing and make, you know, and I know that is one of the reasons why we're hated, because how is it that a race of people can work for centuries, decades, trying to get people some of the most horrific acts that you can think of, and we're still here. I was having a conversation with some brothers in the barbershop on Saturday. It was about 10 of us in there, and I was like, you know, all us brothers sitting in here right now, and for all of you listening right now who look like me, who are of a melanated complexion, for you to be here now, you come from the resilient ones, thinkers. Because you know you had to be on your best behavior, your P's and Q's, to stay away from that whip, to not get shipped away from your family, you know. And that I think about that a lot, just, you know, having a mom and then getting, maybe learning how to read or something, or saying something out of line that you shouldn't say back then, and being separated from your family, your mom, your dad, and in most cases, never to see them again. You know, so for us to still be here right now, those of us here, we come from a resilient bloodline, and that's something to be proud of. That's something to be admired, and I'm humbled to have come from that bloodline that knew how to survive, because it gave me this opportunity now to live. And that's why I always say, you know, we do ourselves a disservice if we are not providing opportunity and for our youth. And I speak on that a lot. You know, I keep our youth from going to their military, you know, because, you know, I was even considering the Air Force. I spoke on that before. But, you know, I ended up having a son, went to work, and, you know, the rest is history. But I considered military because it would give me a jump start, you know, in life. You know, kind of a bill-free, roof over my head, three meals every day kind of life. But in doing that, I give up the rights to my life. I'm a pawn for this system. This system that doesn't and hadn't ever given a damn about the black man or black woman. And we have fought in all their wars. All of their wars we fought in and made them successful. Only to get back to a country that still doesn't see us as equal and doesn't treat us as equal, even to this day. And that's why I say, you know, we have got to take our destiny into our own hands at some point. You know, we have got to realize power that we truly possess, and we've got to utilize it to benefit not just some of us, but all of us, because we're all going through the same ordeals. We're all going through the same treatments, and I'm saying this to poor people and my black people. You know, we've been going through it, but poor people, you're starting to see it the way we've been telling you it is, but you've been refusing to admit it, because a lot of poor people used to be middle class. But they'll never, I don't think there will ever be a middle class, you know, as we knew it. And the way this economy is heading now, no. With the shortages, things are at an all-time high. And that's why I constantly say we need each other. And we need to start rebuilding our communities and policing our communities. You know, just makes me think about the Amir Locke situation, and how that young man lost his life, and, you know, another murderer will not face consequences. And I was also listening, I don't know if y'all remember or not, during the George Floyd situation, and there were several protests, and there was, I think it was in New York, I can't remember where it was at, but anyway, I was reading the some articles in Yahoo earlier, and I ran across one about that old guy that got pushed down, and I really didn't read the whole article, I just read the header where the police who did that will not be disciplined. No charges will be filed. And y'all remember that old man, and he was a white guy. And this is why I say to you poor white people, and especially those of you who decide to get on the right side and link up with black people and fight the power, like during those protests that were happening all over the country, you will definitely be targeted. Nothing has changed since the 1800s. You still be considered a nigger lover. And that's why, and this is just my assumption, my opinion. But I feel like that's why those cops will not be disciplined, because all they were just out there marching for that nigga George, you know. And unfortunately, that's how this system still sees things. If not, the Department of Justice could step in at any given time and eliminate the qualified immunity. And without the qualified immunity, it still doesn't mean that these police would truly be tried for these murders and physical assaults that they do. But, I mean, you know, it's really, it's just like, I don't know, like I say, what good would it really do? Because they're still going to do things their way. And as long as the DOJ doesn't step in to eliminate it and set boundaries, you know, they'll keep doing it like they're doing it, you know. And I mean, poor white people, like I say, you're not exempt, because you're just another poor person in the eyes of this system. And to, in the eyes of this system, poor people are just in the way, like old people. You know, and the ultimate goal of who really run this world, these elites, is to depopulate the earth. You know, Bill Gates ain't nobody, not a politician, not nothing. But he's always speaking on vaccinations. He's always speaking on depopulating the earth, you know. And that's just that elitism talking. Back to, you know, my point earlier about classism. It's about what you possess, and it doesn't matter your morality, integrity, none of that. All of that can be out the window. All that matters is you go along to get along. And you support the agenda. You know, and that's why I say it's, you know, essential that we start to create our own new normals. That's why I say it is essential that we start to rebuild our neighborhoods, our communities, and come together, and not just come together, staying together. Because I often say, you know, if we would stay together, like let's say we just stayed together after the George Floyd situation, you know, maybe Amir Locke wouldn't have happened. Maybe Dante Wright wouldn't have happened. You know, but we won't come together and stay together. We'll stay on it while it's fresh. And then after about a month or two, we just go back to our lives. And we wait for the next one to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it happens. And, you know, we do the same cycle over and over and over. But if we were to come together and stay together, we could demand the change. And the change would happen because we could make the change happen. You know, and that's the point that we have to realize and understand, you know, we have to put the work in. We have to put the action in. We have to put forth the effort. And there's nothing that we can't do, because everything that we do, we master. Everything that we do, we master. Hands down. Whatever it is. You know, so, I mean, we mastered, we learned how to master adversity, mistreatment. So I that we can't do. Only thing we can't do is what we don't do. That's the only thing that I feel like we can't do is the things that we don't do. And when we start doing them, I feel as if we will master those, and in that mastering, we'll have the peace that we want. You know, like I always say, it's time to plan, organize, and unify. You know, my three keys. And a nation is automatic. You know, I was speaking Saturday, like I say, with these brothers, and I was telling, you know, it's really time for the black man to take his place, rebuild our communities, take our communities back, give these young men alternatives, give them something to do other than point guns at one another. I think the biggest problem is that they don't have anything enough to do with their time, you know? And we need to get them out in front of the TVs, in front of these video games, and start trying to relate to our young people. They are the most important thing that we have. $1 million ain't nothing on our children. One of my most prized possessions. You know, I can't imagine not having my children. And I can't imagine not being in their lives. You know, so we all have a part to play, you know. I had my sister Kia, she always throwing some nice gems. And a few weeks back, she had called into one of the shows and she made the statement. Matter of fact, it was the show I did on weaponizing our children mentally, spiritually, and physically. And she said, you know, we're letting our children down. And we are. We're letting them down because the things that our parents didn't teach us, we definitely need to be teaching our children. We've got to give it to them, you know, raw and uncut, because the world right now is raw and uncut. And until we can establish the new peace, yeah, we've got to give our children what they need to navigate in this wicked world that we live in now. So, you know, I mean, we have to start by first reconnecting. And it's not their job to connect with us. We are the adults. It's our job to connect with them. That's, you know, the problem with some of us as adults. We feel as if we are superior. No, you're not. You're not. And just because you are the adult doesn't warrant you automatic respect. And these kids, I think, are screaming at the top of their lungs for attention. You know, I'm trying to really get some brothers and sisters together in my area that would be interested in maybe just kind of like mentoring some youth, you know, giving some teenage youth Saturday morning, like maybe every other Saturday or one Saturday a month, you know, an opportunity to actually speak with adults who are not related to them, who will listen and understand and still give them sound advice, as opposed to the parental woofing that would happen, you know. And I just think that's important, because we've got to remember and think back to when we were young. And I always, not, you know, my mom or my dad, but there was always an adult that I could confide in that would give me sound advice, you know, and that's really what it's all about, giving them sound advice, pointing them in the right direction, letting them know that it's really not as bad as you think, you know, because as a child, you know, a young mind, everything is, oh my gosh, what am I going to do, you know. But with some guidance, they'll know how to deal with those types of situations, you know, and especially for us as black men, reconnecting with our young men, you know, letting them know that everything does not require pulling the gun, taking a life, you know. And life is precious. Life is short, and we have got to, like I say, put back in them what was put in us, just plain and simple, and start giving them that old school raising. And that's discipline included of the downfall of our children, knowing that the consequences are pretty much null and void, you know. And that's one thing that when I grew up was always on the table, and I got plenty of them. And it doesn't kill you, it just makes you respect authority. And that is the biggest problem with our youth today. They have no respect for authority and no value for life. And then they have the world at their fingertips. This violent world they have right at their fingertips with this internet and these cell phones, you know. So it makes them hopeless. You know, it makes them just like an adult, you know, it desensitizes them to what and to what violence really is, and how detrimental and final violence can lead to, you know. And that's why I say we've got to get back in our children's heads and give them an understanding of the value of themselves and the value of their peers. Like I say, we've got to teach our young men that not every situation requires go get my gun. And then, what are you even doing with a gun? Some of you are not even really old enough to possess guns. But, you know, you get them, use them, and you're killing your own self. You know, that's basically what's happening, you know. And like I say, we're already in one fight. And it's just time for us as adults, to take our positions as well, you know. And like I say, I every opportunity I get, which is only 2 days a week, but when I'm out moving around in Dallas and I'm amazed, you know, I just like to kind of try to strike up a conversation with these younger guys to see where their minds are at, you know. And this world is just so different nowadays. And it's like they live in a fantasy type world, you know. Nothing is really serious to them, to these kids nowadays. And life itself is devalued by these young people today, you know. And like I say, you know, we're also losing our young people to these, this police violence. It's just so many things that need to be done, and where do we start? You know, I was asked that question, and I've been asked that question several times, you know, and where do we start? You know, I think it's not really where do we start, just start. I think that's the most important thing. Just start. Because if we don't start, we'll never accomplish, you know. And I've said this several times, these kids nowadays, we were the generation that had to listen and learn, read and learn. We didn't have the internet at our fingertips. You know, we had to go to the library and do research and looking through library cards to locate books, you know. And now with the internet and Google, it really simplifies things. You know, and like I say, we were that generation, that last generation, really, that people my age, I'll say, and maybe a few years younger, but had to do things the manual way, you know. And these children nowadays, you know, want to see things. So you have to be able to show them. And I feel that if and when we do, they will become interested because they'll see how it will benefit them. And not only that, it will be something that is of them, you know, and being involved in building something. Just that legacy aspect of it. And if we start doing it, our children can follow suit. If we as black men start respecting our women, wives, marriages, our young black men will see that, will see that, and they will start to practice that. Our young women will see that and demand that from these young men. You know, then we have productive black men, productive black women raising productive children. Their children seeing a thriving household with a mother and a father. And I did, three shows about the black family a few weeks back, you know. And like in found that the black family was very strong up until the early 70s. And, you know, we can bring that back. We just have to get back in tune with ourselves and also establish our culture. You know, we've been told we didn't have a culture here, but we had a very rich culture here in this country. And we can reestablish that same vibe, that same energy, that same sense of community, you know, and unity. We can bring that back. We just have to bring it back, you know, and not be ashamed of what and who we are. Be deterred from accomplishing the goal. And that's why I say it's important for us to start buying land collectively, families, buy land together. You never know what that land may develop into in the next few years. The land is always valuable. And those are things like economics. We have to teach our children the importance of economics in this greedy, lopsided, capitalistic society. You know, teach them the importance of credit. You know, we got to teach them the importance of working together. Oh, that's really, if we can teach them that, something we don't do, that's the most beneficial thing they can do is learn to work together and put their economic power to work for them and not consistently having to work for economic power. Just so many things we need to equip our young men and women with. You know, it's important that, okay, I see I have been talking a straight hour now. I am going to take me a quick break, and I'm still on the move. My connection is holding up. I thank you, Most High, for that. But I'm hoping that it continues to hold for this second half, or as long as I go in this second half. But this is the Panther Party Radio Network, and if you're listening online, interested in calling in, pretty much just an open show. I'm just touching on some topics, and I want to tell you all about something, and I meant to write the GoFundMe information down so that I could give it on the show, and I forgot to write it down, doggone it. I may be able to pull it up, though. Brother Rakim Coffrey Balogun, I don't know if you all remember him, but I have had him on the show two or three times. He was on the show, and I still haven't found out the particulars of what's going on either with him, but I do know that this funky ass system is messing with him again, and they have a GoFundMe set up for his legal funds. I had tried to reach out to him about 3 weeks ago, and I didn't get a response, and I didn't think anything of it, but I got on Facebook last week, matter of fact, and I saw that they had a GoFundMe set up, like I say, for him to help pay for legal funds, legal fees and stuff. So I kind of, when I come back, I'll give you a background on him. And like I say, I'll try to pull up that GoFundMe and give you that information as well in case you can help, you want to help. I actually donated to it because he's a good brother, you know. But I'll give you his story. And like I say, I'll try to pull up that GoFundMe and give you that information as well. Right now, I'm going to take a quick break and give my voice a chance to rest for a few moments. And we'll be right back with a big picture. This is Melvin Siri Jr.
Why does this loom to be such an explosive political year? Because this is the year of politics. This is the year when all of the white politicians are going to come into the Negro community. You never see them until election time. You can't blame them until election time. They're going to come in with false promises. And as they make these false promises, they're going to feed our frustrations. And this will only serve to make matters worse. I'm no politician. I'm not even a student of politics. I'm not a Republican, nor a Democrat, nor an American, and got sense enough to know it. I'm one of the 22 million black victims of the Democrats. One of the 22 million black victims of the Republicans, and one of the 22 million black victims of Americanism. And when I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy. And the generation that's coming up now can see it and are not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, for what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you're black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're South. Don't call Governor Wallace a Dixie governor. Romney is a Dixie governor. Yeah. 22 million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they become develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. a political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republicans. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you back controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you, because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race. And what kind of alibi do they come up with? They try and pass the buck to the Dixiecrats. Now, back during the days when you were blind, deaf, and dumb, ignorant, politically immature, naturally you went along with that. But today, as your eyes come open and you develop political maturity, you're able to see and think for yourself. And you can see that a Dixiecrat is nothing but a Democrat in disguise. You look at the structure of the government that controls this country. It's controlled by 16 senatorial committees and 20 congressional committees. Of the 16 senatorial committees that run the government, 10 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. Of the 20 congressional committees that run the government, 12 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. And they're going to tell you and me that the South lost the war.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Before the break, I had started talking about young brother that I had the pleasure of meeting through several phone conversations. My schedule kind of made it hard for us to link up in person. So I tried, he tried, he's quite busy as well. I mean, just a genuine young brother, part of the Guerrilla Mainframe group out of Dallas, Texas, and I remember this because this is back when I had first moved back to the city, back in 2017, and he told the story times, because matter of fact, he was here on the show on two occasions, Rakim Balogun, and like I say, good young brother, solid organizer, very active in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, like I say, a member of the Guerrilla Mainframe. Also, he helped to establish the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. Like I say, solid brother, very family-oriented, active with his children, and that's something that I really admired about him. The times that we spoke on the phone, and you know, I would hear his sons in the background, and you know, they doing their homework, and, you know, he was fixing the dinner and, you know, just doing what a dad does, you know, when he's got children under his roof. Like I say, an admirable trait to me from a young man because, you know, I think more of our young men are doing right than we think. But like I say, just, you know, admirable to see this young brother doing the things that he does and upsetting that he's targeted. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to really do some digging. I was trying to find some information about what has occurred now, but I will give you the brother's backdrop and what interested me in him. And actually, we started conversing on Facebook initially, and then we became comfortable enough to swap numbers, and so we did. And like I say, I enjoyed the conversations, the few conversations that we had. And like I say, I had reached out to him because I know that he had told me whenever I want him to come back, just let him know, you know. And I just enjoy the information that he brings, for one. And then just, you know, the dialogue that we had on both shows, you know, I enjoy as well. I hate to see him going through another situation and needing legal help. I was driving and going through a city, so I was not able to pull up that GoFundMe, but next Monday, I definitely will have that information. A matter of fact, if you go to Facebook and go to the Panther Party, the People's Party, I know I put it on that page today, the GoFundMe information. It is on that page. I did put it on there today. His backstory is back in 2017, his son was in the apartment with him, and this is what why I say, you know, these police, federal, whatever, don't give a damn about our young black boys because they consider a young black boy at the age of 15 a man, you know, and it's, don't let him have some size on him or, you know, some height and all that because then he's the big, scary black boy, black man, you know, like Mike Brown, a teenager, like Trayvon Martin, a teenager, shit, Tamir Rice, 12 damn years old, not even able to see his teenage years. And then, you know, when that happens, like I said last week, you know, that those are whole generations that we're losing. Every time we lose one of our young black men or women as well, you know. So, yeah, like I say, our conversations I enjoyed, and I enjoyed having them on the show, but backstory, his son was with him, and it was about 4:30 in the morning, I think he said. Early, you know how the devil lurks in the shadows of darkness, you know, trying to sneak up on you. Anyways, yeah, they raided his apartment. I believe it was in December of 2017, if I'm not mistaken, but raided his apartment, drug him and his son out on a cold December morning, and he spent, I think he said about, if I'm not mistaken, 6 months, and I can remember reading, it was about 6 or 7 months that he spent in a federal detention center until they sorted through everything. And, you know, it's sad that as black people, we cannot speak out against what's wrong without being labeled something. And they arrested him on that black identity, under the black identity extremist. And I know that you all have heard of that term by now. I hope that you all have heard of that term. That's something that they created about, what, 3, 4 or so years ago, a few years ago, targeting black activists, people who were speaking out against the police violence and brutality. So they had to give it a label that sounded scary. So they said that it is a black identity extremist. So that is what they arrested him for, because, like I say, he was an organizer and at the forefront of a lot of events in and around Dallas. So they had been watching him, he said. And it's sad, like I say, that we can't do what's right without them trying to condemn it as wrong. Because nothing that this young brother has done, they also, you know, fed the homeless. He, like I say, he was involved in a lot of programs and things around the Metroplex. And now, you know, he's apparently back behind bars again. And I'm going to get the information. I got a week to find out what's happening before I'm back on air. Because, like I say, just to me, like I say, just listening to him talk, was well spoken. And I don't know if you all remember the interviews that I did, but you can go back through the archives and pull them up. But like I say, just able to articulate very well, organizer, really, what he is and what they hate. You know, just like Fred, Malcolm X, all the others that were organizers, could bring people together, you know, for a good cause. But yet and still, you're vilified. And that bothers me that, you know, we're not even allowed to voice our opinion or speak the truth. And I mean, you know, the truth is being revealed on a daily basis. It's something that really at this particular point in time, the truth is coming to us. We're not even any longer having to, it's revealing itself to us. You know, and those things happen only for a reason. And it's now that we are hearing more and more truth, it should cause us to act even more passionately, and become more involved. You know, I mean, what is it going to take for us to really stay up? You know, like I say, come together and stay together. Because that's really what needs to happen. We really need to stay together on this. Because, like I said a couple of weeks ago, when I was speaking on the Brittany Griner situation, if we were together in solidarity collectively throughout this nation like we should be, we wouldn't have to worry about nobody speaking for us about that sister. We could do that on our own accord. And that's where we need to start positioning ourselves, where we can and will speak up for what we want and stop begging for it and start demanding it and staying together on it and not being fearful of repercussions. What can they do to us that they already haven't? You know, and we honestly don't have anything to lose and everything to gain. Yeah, and we always fold. Yeah, may have a winning hand, but we always fold. Just want y'all to think about that. You know, I was talking to a queen earlier, and, you know, well, yesterday, actually, and we were just talking about our inability to work together, you know, and it's so simple. And then, like I always tell y'all, you know, there are so many things that you can do to start making a difference that are effortless. You know, boycotting. I mean, and why are we still so eager to give these corporations and these businesses our money, when during the pandemic we saw so many instances of mistreatment towards black people, which, you know, is not a surprise. You got all these Billies and Beckys and Karens and Kens out here, you know, trying to call the shots and play master and mistress, you know, instead of just staying in their lane and leaving people alone, you know. But there were so many instances that we saw that. And then, I mean, when are we going to understand the fact that we need our own again? See, me and the Queen yesterday talked about how segregation was hurtful, honestly. And now we honestly need to go back to it. And I've said this on air before. I'm going to say it again. Just like the great migration to the north, to the west, and all that, we need to have another great migration back to the south and take ownership of it. Plant our roots deep in it and stay rooted and grounded in it. And don't move out of it for nobody. And take it. Legally, of course, not like they did, but take it. Take it. You know, we need to be closer together so we can work as a unit and so that we can move about. Me and the Queen were talking, and I said, yeah, it would be nice to be able to roll through, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 states and not have to worry about getting messed with just because you're black. You know, yeah, it'd be nice to have Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, North and South Carolina. I don't think enough of us could move to Florida to run them old Trumpers out of there. But y'all get what I'm saying. And not only that, just for safety's sake, like I say, just to be able to have those comfort zones. You know, as many of them we could fill up. But just coming back to the South, you know, because everything that they claim is stolen, ain't pay nobody for nothing. They just took it. So we can at least start taking it back. Just like how Santa Ana said, they going to get back what was theirs without even firing a shot. And look what they doing. And they not just doing it in these southern regions either. Everywhere I go and I see Hispanics, they do the same thing everywhere. And that's what we need to get on, doing the same thing everywhere. And then, like I say, we need to bring ourselves back closer together and not be so scattered out, easy to pick off. We need to centralize ourselves. Honestly, like I say, for safety's sake, we need each other. And like I say, we can start trying to buy up some lands that we can possess and pass down and at least be able to give our grandchildren something we didn't have, you know, because if anybody deserves it, yeah, we deserve it. But we just have to make it happen for ourselves. We have to stop relying on this government and feeling as if this government is going to somehow one morning or one day wake up, snap out of it, and say, you know what? We have been wrong. Let's give the black people what they're owed. No, no way. I mean, I know what I would do with mine. I put it to work where I would never have to work again and try to talk to as many people as I could because it would be about business. And then just like when the, I suggested when the little $1,200 checks started coming out and I made the suggestion that why not some of you sisters, 4 or 5 of you sisters, put your money, put that together, 5 of y'all, that's $6,000, and try to find a little commercial front. You all were all doing your nails anyway. I'm sure that it wouldn't take too much to become a certified nail tech where you could do it yourself, be able to do your own pedicures, manicures, all of that, and capitalize on it. Why not? What do you do? Continue to go to the Asians and let them do them and mistreat you on top of that. You know, why do we do some of the things we do? And then we don't even think about business. You know, I try to teach my kids, don't be looking for an application. Create something where you can hand out the application. Those are the affirmations that we have to give our children and grandchildren. And that's why I'm struggling so hard right now to complete this task that I'm on, this mission that I'm on, so I can leave my kids something besides my last name because it's not worth much. But, you know, we have to show them things that are capable of being done, you know. And then, like I say, that will allow them an opportunity other than military to get a start in life, you know. I don't think that our kids should have to put their lives on the line for a system who will never respect them, you know. And when you enlist, you are giving them control of your life. You know, you are now a soldier for the United States of America, and at will can be shipped off into a situation that you had nothing to do with, like so many of our ancestors and so many of my peers, and I'm sure many of your peers as well. You know, and like I say, in so many impoverished areas, you know, college is not even a thought. You know, it's either job or military. In the majority of our cases, you know, those are the choices that you have, unless you get a scholarship, you know, something like that. But in most cases, no, children either start working or they join the military for a couple of years to get a jump start at life. So, you know, I'm not knocking it, but I just, like right now with this situation, and it's still a very tense situation, and Joe Biden and all these sanctions don't stop violence and bombs being dropped. Yeah, that's not doing anything to deter that maniacal Putin. So, you know, like I say, that's still a powder keg situation as well. And I think that Putin is going to keep pushing it and that he's doing until somebody else jumps in. And then if that happens, I think China will jump in, and then it'll be an all-out war situation for real. I'm hoping it doesn't escalate to that, but I'm paying close attention to it as well. And like I say, Putin is definitely not letting up on his violence. You know, and he's killing civilians, but then, too, who is America to condemn anybody? America has done and committed the same types of atrocities, dropping nuclear bombs on countries and killing men, women, and children, elderly and all, you know. So, I mean, like I say, war is just ugly. And nobody wins in war. Nobody. You know, only people that win in war are those elite who have businesses that can go over there and clean up afterwards. You know, the elite who can run in there and snatch up and buy up a whole bunch of land and whatever and, you know, take possession of that. Like I say, you know, greed, just simple greed by certain people and entities and systems. So we just got to be vigilant and, like I say, more to – more concerned about one another's well-being. Because, I mean, I keep saying this, and we're really going to see, because I don't know if y'all are paying attention. The shelves in these stores are still pretty bare. And then in most stores, you may go in there and you'll see boxes in the aisles on those racks ready to be stocked, but not enough people working, you know. And, you know, years ago, it's like, we need more jobs, and now jobs are plentiful, but now people don't want to work for pennies, which you can't blame them. And then during the COVID shutdowns, well, people were able to actually sit at home and draw their unemployment with the incentives, make more than they could working. So why go to work? Honestly, till my unemployment runs out. That's just common sense, but yet and still that had an effect on a lot of these restaurants, these smaller mom-and-pop type businesses and stores and shit. So, you know, it was a real hard trickle-down that affected, you know, smaller businesses, not your, you know, big box stores like Walmart and Target and, you know, your big consolidated storefronts that are more established and more economically sound than others. But yet and still, what I do, trucking, you know, so I see what's going on in these warehouses, and like I say, the rates are a lot better because there's a lot of freight just sitting in these warehouses that need to be moved, but there's a shortage of drivers. And I've been telling people as well, you know, if you're looking for a stable, well-paying career, right now, trucking would be it. That trucking would be it. And I've been telling a lot of people this because they're trying to fix it where it is going to be a little tougher to get your CDL because I figured out why that was. I was reading probably about 2.5 weeks ago, little trucker's email that I get. And actually now, minorities make up 41.7% of truckers out here on the road. So that would be the reason for the change that is coming, the stiffening of the rain, the tightening of the rain, I should say, to kind of make it a little more difficult to get your CDL, per se, you know, which, you know, you can study for it and take your test online, and if you know somebody with a truck, you know, schedule your road test. But, like I say, just a nice career path, if, you know, and especially now here. But I am, I got about maybe 12 minutes left. So, yeah, I think I'm going to wind it down. I touched on a few things, and like I say, I'm going to next week I'll announce the GoFundMe for Brother Rakim Bay Lagoon. For those of you or any of you who may want to go and donate to his legal fees, like I say, I did donate anonymously. You can donate anonymously, or you can, you know, say who you are. Just one of those situations where, you know, right now that brother needs us. We need each other. You know, and he is, like I say, one of our warriors out here, you know, not afraid to stand up against what's wrong. And not many brothers are willing to stand up in that fashion. You know, not many people, period, are willing to stand up in that fashion. And so, yeah, if you can help, you know, every little bit helps. And like I say, I know for sure that the information is on the Panther page on Facebook. It is the Panther Party / the People's Party. And the if you go to the just go to the news feed, I posted the information there earlier today. Once I was trying to Google some information and find out what was going on with the brother, and I'll get on that and find out some type of information, because I hadn't heard anything about it on the local news. And I can remember back in 2017 when they arrested him for being a black identity extremist, that it was on the news for about 2 or 3 days. They talked about it, you know, and I'm because there were several FBI agents, ATF agents, you know how they come out like he was some type of serial killer and had killed and mutilated 50 bodies, you know, over-exaggerative, to say the least. But I'm wondering what the situation is this time, because, I mean, as far as the last situation went, you would have thought that they had all the information on them they needed. And after arresting him and detaining him for 6 months or so, yeah, they would leave him alone now and just let him live his life, raise his kids, and enjoy his family. But, like I say, he's got to be a threat because he's speaking out for what's right, you know. And that does not make him a threat at all, at all. You know, to me, it makes him a solid brother. And I stand in solidarity with him because in the eyes of this system, everything that we do is wrong. We can't do anything right, you know. And like I say, I'm pretty sure it's more of the same BS, you know, and they just want to really interrogate him and find out what he's doing now, you know, which is nothing, nothing. Working brother, like I say, several of the few times that he would be on the bus on his way home from work, you know, in the evening time. But like I say, just a solid brother out here trying to make a living. Back to what I was talking about in the opening of the show and how I was profiled going through Kansas City last week, last Thursday. You know, it's just like we cannot do anything without being vilified for it. We can't work. We can't stand up for our rights, you know. So, I mean, really, what is it that we can do? I mean, that will not be deemed incorrect, you know, will not be deemed the wrong thing to do, you know. So, I don't know. Like I say, I'm going to definitely be, I have reached out actually to a sister who's connected with him and who started the GoFundMe. And I'm hoping that maybe possibly she can, will contact me. And I can find out more about what's going on with the brother. Maybe even interview her and she can tell us what's going on. Because, like I say, I just hate to see our young brothers being vilified just for speaking out, you know, just for doing what's right. So with that being said, I am going to close out tonight's show. I want to thank everybody that called in and listened. Nobody wanted to chime in, but that's fine. I always try to keep me some subject matter just in case I have to talk for a couple of hours, which I don't mind doing. But I do appreciate all of you who called in and listened, those of you who listened online, all of my out-of-country listeners that I recognized before the show as well. Also, to all the listeners on ActivateMedia.org in Boston, Mass., I appreciate you all. I mean, like y'all know by now, I do this because I do this, you know. I don't do it for accolades. I don't do it for props. I do it because I feel like it needs to be done, and somebody has to do it, and why not me, you know. I do definitely love the information and being just the research aspect of it. Because it allows me to learn a few things that I may not know as well, you know. And you can never get too much education, you know. So I do appreciate you all. I will be back next Monday with more topics. And like I say, I will definitely... like I say, it'd be nice if I can make contact and have the sister on the show. But go to the Panther page, like I say, if you would like to donate to the Brothers GoFundMe. And I'll definitely have that GoFundMe information as well as an update about what's really going on with the brother. But thank you all for listening. Like I said, I'll be back next Monday, same time, channel. I love y'all. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify. We all have a key. Peace, power, and love. I'm out.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they
the big
say a picture's worth a thousand words, so when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.